a public inquiry into the invoking of the Emergencies Act, or as we like to call it here, the War Measures Act, is underway. And did the police actually request it? Spoiler alert, they did not. VAERS, the WHO, and UDRA Vigilance are reporting massive amounts of adverse incidents and deaths from all COVID vaccines. And in a bit of good news, a BC man is the first and only one of five people in Canada to receive compensation from vaccine injury. It is June the 9th, 2022, and we are well into Pride Cometh Before the Fall month. I'm Andrew DiBartolo, and with me is my buddy Matt Halleck. This is a Liberty Dispatch.
Welcome to the Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. Whether you've joined us via our Rumble channel, which is pretty much the only way you can see us now because YouTube has canceled us over and over and over again. They just pulled our 4-hour live stream form. Who knows why? They don't give you reasons, and if you appeal, they don't tell you anything. So you're definitely going to want to, if you want to see our lovely faces, go over to our Rumble page at Liberty Coalition Canada on Rumble. And if you're just listening to our wonderful voices and the tenor thereof, you can find us on your favorite podcast catchers. We're talking Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, whatever they might be. Please, wherever they are, go over there, like, subscribe, rate, review. Do whatever you can to interact with the content. That way it gets out to more people. Another way that you can interact with our content is by downloading the Fight Laugh Feast app. We are now on the Fight Laugh Feast network, and you can check out our podcasts on the app, and you can get them on demand as well. And that includes all three of our shows: The Liberty Dispatch, which you are currently watching, Open Mic with Michael Thiessen, and our newest show, The Liberty Lounge with Tim Tyso. Also, be sure to check out all things Liberty Coalition Canada at our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com. And you can sign up to our email list. And also, if you would, please leave a donation on that page as well. It helps us continue to grow and develop, and we are growing and developing. We have new shows. We have bigger and broader plans. We are the fastest growing Canadian conservative content that's truly conservative, I would say. So if you want to be a part of changing the conversation in Canada, in breaking through that Overton window and discussing things more important than what the mainstream media wants us to discuss, which is basically at how high of a rate should we be taxed and how quickly can our government destroy our economy. If you want to change the narrative and the discussion, you definitely want to support what we're doing at the Liberty Coalition Canada, and you can go over to our website to do that. Andrew, why don't you lead us into the first story of the day?
Well, if our viewers and listeners remember all the way back to January and February, when the small fringe minority with unacceptable views decided to make its way to Ottawa, and when homeschool moms waving Canadian flags and generous people cooking French toast in the middle of the street and dancing to music while waving flags and singing O Canada, apparently this was tremendously threatening to our distinguished and yet very fragile prime minister, who couldn't handle this. And so this was an occupation. This was a siege. This was an emergency. And so what we needed was the Emergency Act. But let's just cut through it. It's the War Measures Act that was rebranded, and the only other time that it's been invoked is around wars. The First World War, the Second World War, and then when there were actual political dissidents being arrested and killed in the 70s. The only three times, and then the fourth time was homeschool moms and truckers giving out hand warmers and giving pizza to homeless people and drinking Tim Hortons. So, because our very distinguished Prime Minister saw this as an emergency, he decided to invoke the Emergencies Act. And part of the justification for it was, well, this is what the RCMP wants, and this is what the Ottawa Police Services want. They want this to clear the streets and to make sense of everything. Well, from True North News, it turns out that was a big fat lie, because as of yet, both the RCMP and the Ottawa Police, whether it was the interim police chief or the current police chief, have given no indication or no evidence that they were asking for it. Which means, surprise, surprise, here's another example of our elite class, of our Prime Minister, pulling something quite literally out of thin air in order to justify a heavy-handed tyranny and an increased oppression upon the people. And so from True North News, we get this. We're going to continue to work to provide the information necessary to the commission. This is what our Prime Minister said, and we'll make decisions based on the questions and the conditions being asked. And so it's very shadiness, kind of deceptive, shadowy nature about this, and not actually being honest and not saying what did happen, but simply, you know, we'll tell you a little bit as we need to know and as we do going forward. But this is what's important here.
Andrew, the term for that is a limited hangout. You release just enough information to keep the dogs fed and satiated, but you don't actually, in the spirit of truthful transparency, you don't actually release the full amount of information that obviously would be pertinent to the public.
Yeah, it's like when you say, hey, I bought this new thing, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, right? I want to tell you what it is, but I'm not going to tell you. But if you guess correctly, I'll tell you. So if you got to hit the bullseye, and I'll tell you what it is, or I'll tell you who I like. But otherwise, I'm going to withhold that information. And so this is a quote right from True North News here. Despite claims from the Trudeau government that law enforcement desperately needed the government to invoke the Emergencies Act, or War Measures Act, let's not give into the euphemism here, to quash the peaceful freedom convoy, which it was, the RCMP and Ottawa Police Service have indicated otherwise. Both interim Ottawa Police Chief Steve Bell and RCMP Commissioner Brenda confirmed that they have never requested the feds to invoke the never-before-used act. So that's part one of the story about the public inquiry into the invoking of the Emergencies Act. And so part two, Matt, why don't you tackle part two, the much more deceptive part of this story?
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that Trudeau was trying to say that his regime was an aid to these overrun, under-equipped provincial and city resources in dealing with this horrible act of domestic terrorism that we saw with the Freedom Convoy. But the reality is that was not the case, that Trudeau was going against and going after political dissidents that would question his regime. And to the point that you made earlier about the limited hangout, what we're seeing is Trudeau and his regime have tried to, from the moment that this act was enacted, tried to cover up just how they got to the point where they were invoking the Emergencies Act. And the thing is, they've tried to hide a bunch of the information pertaining to the origins of the declaration of this act under what they have termed cabinet confidentiality. However, the Public Order Emergency Commission, which is necessary whenever the Emergency Act is invoked, to follow up, to do an investigation into the invocation of the act, they are not buying it. In the commission's own document that they have released, they rightfully recognize that the onus is on the federal government to justify the use of these extreme measures. And the act reads, or the document by the commission reads as follows. In light of this, the commission has asked the government to disclose to the commission the information, including the advice and information that may be protected by cabinet confidence or any applicable privilege that led to the cabinet's decision to declare an emergency. So that is a piece of good news, that the commission isn't being swayed by this political gamesmanship. And in the spirit of truly getting to why this act was invoked, they are going to probe deeper still. And the amazing part is that our mainstream media is not covering this unprecedented story in any sort of detail. It's not getting any coverage. Yet what we're seeing here is this kind of inside-outside game that was played by our government, that is totally a crass political move where they use their government-sponsored media outlets to gin up a bunch of idiotic stories that painted their political dissidents in the trucker convoy as racist terrorists. And they use that misinformation as the predicate to invoke an emergency act that was not called by provincial or municipal authorities. And it is an absolute shameful display of tyrannical totalitarian governance, so they could go and freeze people's bank accounts without due process of law. They suspended the writ of habeas corpus so that they can go after political dissidents. And the fact that our media is not covering that story with clarity is unbelievable. And it just shows you that they are not worthy of your trust. They're not worthy of your time. And it's important to understand that the Trudeau regime, despite their constant claims of transparency, Andrew, they are decidedly opaque. And that is the true, you know, disgrace of this whole situation, is its crass political politics done for the betterment of our current rulers. And there's not much that I have left to say on it. Help me clarify this, Andrew.
Well, that funny enough, that seems to be a thread throughout our show today. What is the media not covering?
Yes.
Right? Like, these are big things. Like, and what are they silent about? So they're silent about this, and they're silent about the next two stories we're going to be looking at. But this is what we've seen the last 2 years. So the justification for the emergency orders, you know, in my province, for example, where I live, it was unjustified. And then when you begin to ask questions, so a lot of these churches that presented their charter challenges to the court, whether it's James Coates, and I listened to that trial on Zoom, or whether it's Jacob Raome, and I also watched that Zoom court trial as well, you basically had the representation of the churches saying, listen, you, Alberta Health Services, you, Ontario, you need to show us, you need to justify why you would shut down churches and say they can't meet. Like, give us the proof. Explain to us the deadliness of it. Show us why you wouldn't shut, you know, you would shut down a church, but you wouldn't shut down Walmart, or why you wouldn't shut down, you know, things that can be similar. And the response, the overwhelming response from the courts has been, well, we don't have to. And it's just because, ooh, boogeyman scare. I mean, they said that explicitly with James Coates. They said, Alberta Health Services, show us the evidence for why they shut the church down. And Alberta Health Services said, we can't. And the judge says, yeah, they don't have to. And so it has been unjustified extensions of tyranny and heavy-handedness upon people. But not, by the way, and we're not covering this, but not, I just read this morning, that corporate jets are exempt from the green fuel tax that will be applied to a lot of other people. Of course they're exempt from it, because it's rules for thee and not for me, because, as Orwell was very, very adept in saying and understanding, that all animals are equal, but some animals are a little more equal than others. And so the reality is they don't have to justify. I got to justify. I have to clearly explain why I do the things I do and, you know, put the mask on and sanitize 5 million times and distance and explain this and are you doing this and spell it. But they don't have to. They don't have to justify why they're doing what they're doing. And part of what makes that so sinister and so vile and gross is when we see the consequences that come from their tyranny and from their mandates. And this leads into our second story, which is we're seeing now the numbers that are being reported across the world, in the US, in Europe, and in the world more broadly, highlighting for us the adverse incidents and the deaths and all of the terrible consequences that have come from this experimental medical injection. And so I'm going to be clear. We're going to say vaccine and vaccination because it's shorthand and because it's quicker than saying what it is, which is experimental gene therapy, which, by the way, despite everyone who criticized all us tinfoil hat wearers a year ago for calling it that, it has now been called that. That the CEOs, that the people who run these companies have now come out and said, yeah, it's not a true vaccination. It actually is gene therapy. So we don't want to give it the full name. That takes too long. So we'll call it vaccine for shorthand. And this is from Bright Light News, who legitimately has been one of the only bright lights shining on this COVID madness. And so we have a few different numbers that we want to report. The first one is from VAERS. And so VAERS is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reaction Database, which separates its information specifically in the United States and territories and worldwide. So we'll look worldwide, all VAERS data is reporting 28,532 deaths from the vaccine, 4,690 miscarriages from the vaccine. And by the way, those are also deaths, so we can add that to the total. 53,200 permanent disabilities, people permanently disabled, and 14,699 heart attacks. Now, according to VAERS, if we track VAERS data from 1990 to 2019, in all of those 30 years, there's not a single year that reports more than 600 deaths from the vaccine. In 2021 alone, there were 22,000 reports of death. And in 2022 so far, there have been 7,000 reports of death. Now, for those of you that have mathematical acumen or English acumen, and they like the word I use there in terms of vocabulary, basically, there have been more reports of death from vaccinations in 2021 than the previous 30 years combined times two. Now, for those who might be skeptical of the VAERS database, let's look at the WHO database. And the WHO database reports some 21,906 total deaths from the vaccine. And we want to look also briefly at Eudravigilance. And so this is the European Union reporting database that reports adverse events. And so what they do is they break it down by vaccination company. And I'll remind our listeners that is by experimental gene therapy injection company. So just so we don't forget we're actually talking about
it. And plus,
here,
we won't get all the comments. We get a lot of comments when we use the word vaccine. We understand.
Yeah.
We know that it's investigational, experimental
it's not a vaccine therapy
that doesn't provide anybody immunity. We are very clear on that. We're on the same page, guys. But vaccine's just a lot easier to say. And that's what people know it as, too. So anyways, continue.
And so Pfizer reports almost a million, 964,000 and change. AstraZeneca is almost 500,000, 490,000. Moderna is about 300,000, so 297,000. And so all of the adverse events reported across Europe are 1,813,814. And this is the point. Have you heard any of this? Have you been seeing this? Has CBC been covering this? Mm-hmm. Is CNN covering this? Have you seen this on Global? Have you seen this on CTV? This is another example.
Have you even seen it on Fox? Have you even seen it on Fox?
Right. This is massive. Yeah. More deaths in 1 year from vaccination than the previous 30 years times two. This is front page stuff. Mm-hmm. This is tremendous in terms of its scope. Nothing. Yeah. Silence. And people are not being told about this. People who are still going for their third and fourth booster. When I go in the mall to go shopping, I'm not going to tell anyone where, but when I go to the mall to go shopping and I pass the little mock-up get your booster clinic, there are still people there getting their third and fourth booster. And you know what they're not being told? They're not being told, hey, more people have died from this vaccine in the last year than the last 30 years combined for all vaccination times two. So that's, it is evil. It's evil.
Yeah, I mean, it truly has been an experiment on human beings. And whether you got the jab or you didn't get the jab, we believe that's totally your choice. But these are numbers. This is information that we do think needs to be broadcast, that we do think people need to be aware of so they can make the best, most informed choice. Because the sad reality of the fact is, in this investigational gene therapy, what we have done through mRNA technology is we've got our bodies to produce the spike protein that is cytotoxic, that then attacks our body in ways that obviously we're seeing are very detrimental. I mean, a number that you didn't cover when you were going through the VAERS database was the incidence of myocarditis and pericarditis. 41,423 linked to that. And then you did cover the almost 15,000 heart attacks. Guys, myocarditis and pericarditis are very, very rare medical conditions. And the fact of the matter is, most of these are happening in healthy, young, primarily male individuals. Full disclosure, I got the vaccine very, very early on, before a lot of this information was available. And at my second dose, they finally said, oh, hey, there's been some reports of, you know, potential side effects when it comes to, you know, heart complications in young males like yourself that you need to be aware of. But they did that as I was sitting at the table, you know, a sleeve up, you know, nothing other than that. And obviously, had I been well informed by this data, had I known some of what I know now about the vaccine, I would not have gotten it. And I got it primarily so I could visit elderly grandparents and you know, do some traveling, stuff like that. Those were some of the calculations that went on in my brain. But the fact that our governments are forcing this on people, that people are losing jobs, that we have highlighted on our program those people with actual faces, with actual families that have gotten fired because they refuse to put this investigational gene therapy in their body that has clearly led to all sorts of adverse events. That is absolutely despicable. And the fact that more voices aren't being very clear on this, even conservative voices on this data, it's truly remarkable. And that's why we thought it necessary to, again, cover what is not being covered. Because you guys need to know these things, and we need to know how to articulate them to people and get this information out to those people that we love that might not be informed of these numbers, because they're truly, truly gobsmacking. And when you compare them to the total of vaccine adverse effects like you have over the last 30 years, Andrew, it just highlights the fact that this is you know, truly an unspeakable and foolish experiment that governments across the world have conducted on their own citizens. And I don't think it's inappropriate, like Dr. Peter McCullough and many others have done, to invoke the Nuremberg trials when we're talking about the extent of this experimentation on populations. And the fact of the matter is, many people profited from this experiment, right? Forbes has, and we'll link this in the description, meet the 40 new billionaires who got rich fighting COVID-19. So over the last year and a bit, 40 billionaires have been crowned because they have been rolling out these gene therapies, and they were doing it under Project Warp Speed in a context where they're not liable for a lot of the adverse effects that are being seen by people. And that's what's truly despicable as well, is the very people who should have been more cautious, and all the mechanisms that we put in, all the normal things that we do to make sure people are not being damaged bodily by medications, those were thrown by the wayside, and we just jumped whole hog into vaccine. That's the only way to get out of this pandemic. And now we're seeing, like you said, Andrew, the absurdity of the fact that people are getting third, fourth boosters, but the efficacy is waning after every single shot, according to the numbers that are put out by Pfizer and Moderna, again, in papers that they didn't want to make transparent, right? So we're seeing a theme over and over again. Top-down, heavy-handed, government mandatory practices. And then when somebody tries to make information public, we're seeing a squashing of that information, deliberately opaque responses from these powerful individuals. And that is why we exist as Liberty Coalition, to make sure that this information is getting out to you so you can communicate it to others as well. And Andrew, before we move on to the final story, which is a bit of good news, you had some numbers pertaining to just Ontario that you wanted to share with the listeners.
Right, which, by the way, are not being broadcast anywhere. But just so everyone knows, so as of today, I just checked this about 40 minutes ago, as of today in Ontario, 86% of all the people who are in Ontario hospitals due to COVID are vaccinated. 86% are vaccinated. And 83% of people in the ICU because of COVID are also vaccinated. And so these are numbers that need to be known, because one thing that our viewers, I'm sure, have been wrestling with, as I've been wrestling with as well, is the barrage of this guilting, right? This legalism, as from people saying, here is the law, the new law, right? The new priestly code, the new law is you must do this. Why? To love your neighbor, for the good of the collective, for the good of the whole, to keep me safe, to keep you safe, right? People are being placed under a yoke, under a burden of this new law, and they're being told, you're not loving, you're not kind, you're not neighborly, what about your family? And our viewers need to know, with these facts, with these stats, with these numbers, they need to say, ever so respectfully, go take a hike. Like, don't bring your law, don't bring your burden upon me. Don't tell me what I'm required to do, when the reality is that if I'm a 38-year-old man and I do what you're telling me to do, it might damage me more, and I have a greater chance of dying from that than from the injection. And then what about my wife and kids? What about my church? What about the people who depend on me? What about them? What about loving them? What about the business owners that don't give in to the tyranny? Like, our viewers need to know the reality of what's going on, because they need to be able to say, as respectfully as they can, I'm not going to believe the lie. You live in a fairy tale world that believes in lies, where you get your shady messaging and your dishonest media coverage. I'm not going to play that game. I'm going to live in the realm of truth, and I'm going to do what's right, and I'm actually going to be loving to my neighbors, and I will not allow your deception to guide me. And armed with that, and with some of the good news that you're going to cover for us, like you said, this last story here is actually a break in the clouds of the sunlight shining out and saying, no, it's not just evil, and it's not just people being crushed by these mandates. And so why don't you get this last story out for us that our viewers, again, probably haven't heard about, but they need to know.
Yeah, and I suppose it's maybe inappropriate to say it's good news considering the circumstances, but it's certainly bittersweet news. According to CTV Vancouver, a BC man is the first to receive compensation due to COVID-19 vaccine injuries. So this is the reality of the situation. What we know, what the numbers reflect, it's coming to bear. It's so obvious. It's so out there that even CTV Vancouver has to cover it. Now, interestingly enough, before I get into the story, notice that this is a local newspaper reporting on, one individual within their constituency, but it's not a national news story that then sparks conversations on the VAERS reports and all these adverse side effects from the COVID-19. Now, this is just a local story. It's a little hush-hush. I mean, we can't ignore it because it's big news, but that is the way, again, that mainstream media colors the conversation. So Ross Whiteman has become the first Canadian to receive compensation for the COVID-19 vaccine injury. According to CTV Vancouver, more than a year after becoming partially paralyzed following his COVID-19 vaccine, Whiteman has become one of the first in the country to be approved for compensation through the Federal Vaccine Injury Support Program. In response to that, Whiteman says, "It's vindicating. That's kind of the first thought that came to my mind." According to CTV News, Whiteman developed a rare neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine in April of 2021. This is the spate of injuries that Whiteman had after getting the vaccine. He had full facial paralysis. He was paralyzed from the waist down. He still has no muscle or nerve activity below his knees, and his hands curled in. Now, Whiteman is one of 400 claimants that have issued claims against the COVID vaccines for adverse effects in Canada that has come before the Medical Review Board, but he is one of only 5 out of 400 to be approved in his complaint. And furthermore, in response to the CTV Vancouver article and inquiry in light of this decision, this was the response of our Canadian government. Health Canada has said, along with the Public Health Agency of Canada, it continues to advise that the benefits of vaccination with a vaccine approved in Canada outweigh the potential risk of disease. And that is the tone-deaf response from our government. It's obviously not true, especially depending on the demographic you're in. And that's why it's so idiotic that we've had this stupid conversation in this stupid way that we've had it throughout the last 2 years. Is the risk reward benefit of it is totally age striated, and it is totally striated based on comorbidities. But we can't seem to have a honest conversation about this and say, for the vast majority of people, you're not going to die of COVID-19. I had the vaccine. I got COVID-19. It was nothing. But that's not because the vaccine was effective, because I got it well after the efficacy of the vaccine had worn off, according to the data and numbers of durability that are coming from the vaccine manufacturers themselves. The fact is, COVID-19 for the vast majority of people is not a death diagnosis. And the risk-reward calculation of getting these investigational gene therapies that don't provide you immunity is not a benefit. And that is counter, obviously, to Public Health Agency of Canada, Health Canada, and the entire stances of provincial and federal authorities across our land. And they just will not get off that bandwagon, because it would, Andrew, require them to come to the grips with the fact that what they have done is profited a bunch of big pharma entrepreneurs at the expense of medically experimenting on their own citizens.
And it evidences something that we've known for a while, we've been saying for a while, is that despite the claims of we want to be transparent and we want to have a conversation and we want to inform you, that's a whole lot of nonsense. Right? That is garbage. Because here's what we know to be true from the elites, from the legacy media, from those in the highest positions of power. Number one, they don't want to be transparent. They don't want to disclose things. They don't want to give the information. They don't want to allow people to make an informed medical decision. They just want to tell you what you're supposed to do and what it is, and that's it. Number one. Number two, they don't even want to have a discussion about it. And how do I know this? Because a bunch of peaceful protesters making French toast and dancing in the streets while waving Canada flags that were pleading with someone, some MP, to have a discussion about their wants and about their requests, nothing, no discussion. Not one elected member, not one person from the government was willing to meet with any of the truckers and any of the organizers. Why? Because they don't want to talk about anything. No one from the health services or the provincial health units are saying, well, here's our justification for why we did what we did. And they're not having to defend themselves in court. Not at all. And so the common thread that is woven through these stories, even though, you know, like we said, it's bittersweet, that there's a sense of vindication now that he will receive compensation for his injury. Nevertheless, the way it's framed by the health bureaucrats, by the legacy media, by our elected officials, it's shrouded in secrecy and deceit. They don't want to be open and honest and forthcoming, and they don't want to have a discussion about things. They want to say, like a parent would say, just do what we tell you. Why? Because it's what we say. Oh, it's best for you. It's good for you. And the reality is there are parents that do operate that way. There are parents who say to their children, we know what's best for you. We know what's for your good. This isn't something we can have a discussion about. This isn't something where we need a democratic vote. We love you. We care about you. You have to do what we tell you because we're out there for your good. But the civil government is not our parent. It's not our dad. They don't have that kind of role. And even if they did, which they don't, but even if they did, the reality is the last 2 years have exposed that they don't have our best interests in mind, that they're not benevolent, that they're not out to do what's best for us, because they still murder babies and kill old people because it's inconvenient. And because they're still, and yeah, we're in Pride Cometh Before the Fall month, but they're still castrating chemically boys and girls. They're still cutting off genitals and breasts, all in the name of whatever evil satanic agenda that they want to further. But they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the real psychological effects that has on people. They don't want to talk about the high rate of kids who grow out of it and revert back to normal at some point. They don't want to talk about the massive amount of regret and the mental illness that persists because of these things. They just want to say, here's the spoonful of sugar. Do what we tell you and don't question it. And we at the Liberty Coalition Canada say, similar to the person that's being burdened by the Love Your Neighbor vaccine, we say as respectfully as we can, you can go take a hike. No, we are going to be on the path to truth. We are going to expose things. We are going to talk about things. We're going to inform people, and we're going to fight for liberties and for freedoms, that we're going to stand upon a biblical worldview, that we will defend true conservatism, and we will say we're going to get the story. We want to know what's going on. We're not just going to do what you tell us, and we're not simply going to bend because you bring the threat of coercion upon us, that we are going to fight for all things freedom in our country. And that's what we're committed to. And so that's why we're going to, you are not going to find these three stories highlighted on CBC or CTV or Global. And even if you find that places highlighted, you know, allies like Bright Light News, like Rebel, like True North, and we're thankful for it, what you're not going to get from them is you're not going to get a distinctly Christian perspective on it. How do we, through the lens of a biblical worldview, understand and interpret these things? And how is it that the law of God is to be brought to bear upon these things so that we can live justly and rightly in the world that God has made? And that's exactly what we're committed to. That's what Matt and I are committed to. That's what Tim and Mike are committed to on their shows. We are committed to pushing out truth and bringing good worldview perspective and analysis on these things. Because you need to know. You need to know what's going on, and you need to be informed. I'm done. That's all I got. I think I did my preaching rant. Matt, why don't you take it home for us?
Yeah, we are the only game in town, as you've made mention, that is going to give you the in-depth analysis of news and culture, but then also can go beneath the floorboards and have discussions on the proper spheres of authority, on philosophy and politics and theology, and understand it from a normative biblical perspective. We can have these conversations that, you, with all due respect, you're not going to get at even True North or Rebel Media or whatever it might be. And that's where I think our value add is. And if you want to help us grow as we help you grow, we want to let you know that you can be advertisers with us right down here. You can have your ad. You can have the beautiful voice of one Andrew DiBartolo reading your advertisements on air. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads and supporters who are constantly viewing and listening to our content. And that is a great way for you to get out your products and whatever you want others to listen to. And it helps, as I've made mention, us grow as you grow as well. So if you want to partner with us, if you want to see your ads read or visually displayed on our podcasts, reach out to donors at Liberty Coalition. Actually, it's donor at libertycoalitioncanada.com. So definitely go and do that. And as always, please, once again, like, subscribe, rate, review the podcast so they get out to more individuals. That is the way that we get this message and this information that the mainstream media, the legacy media, does not want to cover out to more people. So we really, really appreciate all the support, all the viewership. We love our audience, and we just pray that it will continue to grow, and we hope that we have helped you on the program to think through the headlines from that uniquely biblical perspective. But until next time, Galatians 5:1.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.